In this day and hour in which we live, our only hope, I believe most of you would agree, if not all of you would agree, in these last of the last days, our only hope is revival. With the way things have gone just over the last year, not including the pandemic, that's a whole nother subject altogether. But with all the stuff that's happened with the election, with the stuff previous to the election, all the stuff with the Black Lives Matter and everything, we realize reading God's Word and as students of God's Word, our only hope for this land, it wasn't the election back in November. It wasn't any kind of trial. It wasn't any kind of decisions made by the Supreme Court for the Supreme Court. Our only hope, we realize in these last of the last days, is revival. Revival's not man-made. We didn't pack a bus full of it and left South Carolina yesterday and brought a busload of it to bring to the Victory Baptist Church or carry over to Ransom tonight and drop a load of revival off with them. We don't have it in our guitar cases. Revival is not man-made. Revival is not something that we can pump. Revival is not something that we can prime. But it is something that we all, as God's people, desperately need. You say, how do you know that I'm a candidate or I'm in need of revival? I heard it said, and I really like the way they said it. They said, if you ever were closer to God at any time since you've been saved than you are right now, you're in desperate need of revival. And I believe that includes all of us. I believe that includes everybody in here that's saved by God's amazing grace, knows our Father, been pardoned of your sins, washed in the blood of Christ. I believe every one of us in here today would have to say that I need revival. I don't know, church, that we'll ever have a worldwide revival. We read about the Welsh revivals that affected two continents at the same time. We read about the Chicago revival. We read about this and things that are happening down in Africa and things that seemingly are happening in China and the Philippines. I don't know personally that there ever will be a worldwide revival. I don't know how we can have a worldwide revival. Just knowing what I know and the direction America's headed, I don't see how we can have a worldwide revival. But I'm not limiting God to say that He cannot give a worldwide revival. God can do whatever God wants to do. It don't take my approval. It don't take your approval. It don't take any man's approval. It don't take a president's or a king or anybody else's approval. God can do whatever God wants to do. But the way things are shaping up and the way we as students of the Bible have read the last chapters of the Word of God, we realize that seemingly revival worldwide level is not going to happen. But I'm not limiting God. God can do whatever God wants to do. I don't know, preacher, that we'll ever see a national revival. I don't know that we will. The way our country is headed right now, the way they're trying to rewrite history and take God completely out of our history, the way they're trying to remove any of the name of Jesus Christ out of any of our school books and textbooks, and they're even trying to take it out of our vocabulary. I mean, you mentioned God in our day, and you're okay, because they refer to anybody and anything as God. But when you bring up the Trinity, the Father and the Son and Jesus Christ and the Holy Ghost, then you've stepped over the line as far as this world's concerned. You're a fanatic. You're a rebel. You're one of those who is against everything that society has for us. But if you bring up the name of Jesus and want to pray in Jesus' name, this world has a problem with it. So I don't know, as far as looking at news and all that stuff, and I don't base my messages on news. I don't base my everyday life on the news. As a matter of fact, I try not to watch the news because I know what the Bible says. I know how God finishes this thing up. I know that the church is all right. I know that we're caught up in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. I don't base my messages on the news, but I don't know that we'll ever see a national revival. I do believe, preacher, we can see a personal revival. I do believe we can see a church-wide, corporate, collective revival. I believe the Victory Baptist Church can experience revival, preacher. I believe the God that said I was God yesterday, today, and forever. I believe the Lord that says I am the Lord, I change not. I believe He's still able to give us personal revival. I believe we still can see a church revival. I believe God can use this place. And the only way revival is going to come is through the doors of a local New Testament Bible believing. And I'm going to go ahead and throw this in Baptist Church because I are one. I believe the Lord is going to use the book to send revival. I believe the Lord's going to use people in His local body, in His local church to send revival. Revival's not going to start on the Washington Square Mall. Revival's not going to start in the White House. Revival has to start through the local church. God's going to use the church to give this world revival, or give this nation revival, or give this country revival, or give this county revival. God's going to use the local New Testament Bible believing, Bible preaching church to give revival. I'm a firm believer. I'm a local church man. I believe everything God does, He's going to do through the church. But I believe we need to get to the place where they got to right here in Psalm chapter number 85 and verse number 6. They had gotten so low as a people. I believe they'd heard about revivals of days gone by, preacher. I believe they'd heard about revivals of years gone by. I believe they'd heard the revivals of their father and their grandfather. And they had gotten so far away from God that they get to this place where they cry out in verse number 6, "Wilt thou not revive us again that thy people may rejoice in thee?" I believe we as a church has come so far that we need to get back to this same cry. We need to get back to this same outburst. We need to ask God ourselves. It's not a question of can God. It's a matter of will God. But God's not going to give revival to dirty people. God's not going to give revival to people with sin in their heart. God's not going to give the complacent. God's not going to give the backslidden. God's going to give us who are willing vessels revival. So in this text, number one, we see the source of revival. They're not asking the local ministerial association down the road. They're not asking the other churches in the area. They're not asking the preacher. They're not asking Moses. They're not asking Joshua. They're not asking anybody else, "Will you give us revival?" Preacher, they said, we got to go right to the source. We have to go horizontal. We have to go vertical. We can't go horizontal, because revival's not going to come from anybody on the horizontal plane. Revival has to come from the vertical plane. And they said, "Lord, we know that you have to give us revival. We're begging to you." Verses 1 through 3 or 1 through 4 tell us how the condition was, that they knew God had forgiven their sins. They knew God had shown them favor back in days gone by. And they said, "God, we're not asking any other person. We're not asking any other entity. We're not asking any other movement." They said, "Wilt thou?" And they're talking to the Lord God Almighty. They're talking to the Supreme God of heaven. They said, "God, we know the way man's wickedness is, and man cannot give us revival. So we're going straight to the source." They said, "God, it has to come from you and you alone. You're the one that has to give us revival. It can't come from anywhere else. It can't come from any other preacher. It can't come from any other singer. Revival has to come from God." And they said, "Lord, we have to turn to the source. It's not anybody else." But they said, "God, we've got to the place so low in our lives where we know it has to come from you. And I'm amazed at how we try this and we try that. And we try this and we try that, preacher, but none of it will ever work. And the only thing that's going to help us, the only thing that's going to help your four daughters, the only thing that's going to help my four daughters, the only thing that's going to help my wife's two son-in-laws, the only thing that's going to help our grandbaby is for God, the great God of heaven, the source of revival. He is the one that's going to have to give it to us. We can't expect it from anywhere else." They said, "Wilt thou?" It has to come from the source. God Almighty. But not only the source. In this verse, we see the saints needing revival. They said, "Wilt thou not revive my neighbor?" That's not what it said. They said, "Wilt thou not revive the tribe next to ours? Will not not revive the city next door or the county next door. No, they didn't say any of that. They said, Lord, we realize it's us. They said, we're your people. We're not asking for anybody else. Although we want everybody else to have it, they said, God, we're begging for us. They said, we're your people. We're the saints of God. And we don't need to ask you, because revival is not for the man down there sitting on the bar stool. Revival is not for the dope dealer on the corner preacher. Revival is for his people, the saints of God. It's for us. I can't point at everybody else. And real good as Baptists, as looking down our pharisaical nose and saying, they sure do need revival. Or they sure do need revival. Or they sure do need it. Oh, it's him. Oh, it's her. You can look at them and tell they need revival. No, it's that fella that I shaved this morning in the mirror. It's that lady that put her makeup on that you're looking at in the mirror. They're the ones that need revival. And we need to realize that it's us. We need to realize that I'm the one that needs revival. But we in our Baptist churches, we've got this idea that God will be okay with it. God's okay with our complacency. And God's okay with our excuses for missing church. We've got that attitude, preacher. God will understand. No, God won't understand. Anything that takes the place of Him, whether it's T-ball, whether it's Little League, whether it's work, God will not understand. I don't care who you are. I don't care what you do. Friend, God will not understand. We're to put Him first. He said, seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and then all them things will be added unto you. We need to get past the place of God understanding. God's not going to bless our unfaithfulness. God's going to not bless our complacency. He's not going to bless our non-caring attitude. We need to get back to the place where, God, I want to sell out wholly to you. I want to be used by you. And I'm the one. It's me. I'm the us that needs revival. The source of revival. It's God. The saints needing revival. It hadn't been too awful long ago. I don't know. Maybe 10 years ago, preacher. It might have been 12 years ago, 15. I got a really good memory, church. It's just short. I can't remember where we were last Sunday, to be honest with you. But we were in Hot Springs, Arkansas. Up at Brother Capace's. Back years and years ago, and they put us in a house to stay, and we were doing their January Jubilee, and they put us in a house, and they give us some money to go buy some breakfast food for the couple mornings we were going to be there. And I don't know, we get to the house, and I don't know if I choose to leave all the chaos of all the kids, or if I was elected to leave and go get the groceries. But anyway, the lot fell on me, and they were telling me some things they wanted. It's been, you can probably Google this after the service. When the movie Courageous, that movie Courageous come out, I think Ben and them asked us to grab the movie. I don't remember exactly all how it went, but I told them I'd grab the movie, and I get to Walmart. It's probably 12:30 in the morning going into Tuesday. We done had service Monday night, and I grabbed some breakfast items, put them in the buggy, grabbed that movie Courageous. It came out straight up 12 o'clock midnight, and I headed towards the checkout, and right at the edge of one of the checkout lines, there was a fella standing there waiting on me to check out. It wasn't self-checkout at the time, but the fella's name was Lawrence. I noticed his tag. And Lawrence said, sir, you ready to check out? I said, yes, sir, man, I'm ready to check out. So I get to the conveyor belt, and I throw that movie up on there first and then throw the rest of the stuff. As Lawrence was checking me out, let me rephrase that. As Lawrence was scanning my groceries, you have to be careful in this day and hour. As Lawrence was scanning my groceries, Lawrence grabs that movie, preacher, and Lawrence said, these Christian movies seem to be making a really good comeback. Didn't know Lawrence from Adam. I thought, this is a pretty good conversation piece. But before I could say anything, Lawrence makes this statement. He said, but we don't need Christian movies to make a comeback. And man, that kind of... But then before I could say anything else, I wasn't in the mood to get in confrontation. But before I could say anything else, Lawrence said, what we need are Christian people to make a comeback. And I'm thinking, man, at almost 1 o'clock in the morning, this is a really good conversation piece. I said, I saw his name already. I said, Lawrence, where do you go to church? And Lawrence said, I'm a member of the Ark. We'd been to Hot Springs several times. I had no idea what the Ark was. Only Ark I knew about, Book of Genesis. There was only 8 people on that boat. Lawrence was not one of them. And Lawrence made this statement. He said, I go to the Ark. He said, but I'm looking for somewhere else to go. And I'm thinking, man, we just right around the corner from right here at this Walmart having Jubilee camp meeting, whatever they called it. I said, Lawrence, we in services, we just had service tonight, which was Monday night. I said, we'll have it again tomorrow night, which will be Tuesday, and then again on Wednesday. I said, they got a great fellow over there preaching. I said, my family will be singing. I said, we'd love to have you come. Gospel Light Baptist Church up on 2nd Avenue, Hot Springs. Without missing a beat, Lawrence makes this statement. Baptist and revival. Is that even possible? And honest to goodness, I wanted to laugh like you did, brother, but it kind of stung me. Because I could tell just by the way he said Baptist, he didn't think too highly of Baptists. And man, it's 1 o'clock in the morning. I'm not ready for confrontation. Usually, I'd have stepped right through that door. But man, it's 1 o'clock in the morning. I'm ready to go to the house, eat my bowl of Cocoa Puffs, and go to bed. I'm not ready for confrontation. And I just said, Lawrence, I really don't care how you feel about Baptists. I said, we're having a meeting just right around the corner. I said, we'd love to have you come. Needless to say, Lawrence never showed up for the meeting. Not Tuesday, not Wednesday. All the way to the car with that little buggy of groceries, I'm thinking, is what he said true? Baptist and revival? Is that even possible? And honestly, he had me almost doubting, can the denomination I'm part of have revival? And it's like the Lord just stopped me in my tracks preaching and said, hey, I'm God. That doesn't limit me from giving revival to whoever I want to. I can give revival through Baptist. And I believe God's going to use us as Baptist people because I believe we're as close to this book as anybody else is. I believe we try to follow the letter of this law, preach. I believe we're as narrow-minded as this book is. And if there was anything any closer to God, that other denominations that was close to this Bible, I believe I'd be one of them. But I believe we're as close to the Word of God as we can get. And we call ourselves Baptists. And God said, I'm the same yesterday, today, and forever. I am the Lord. I changed not. I gave revival when the country was founded. I gave revival in the 1800s, the early part of the 1900s. I can give revival however and whenever I please. Of course, Baptist and revival is possible. But until we get to the place, church, where we realize it's us that need it, we'll never have it. And preacher, for my little 7-year-old back here's sake, I need to see God move. And if God wants to give revival to any one person in the Victory Baptist Church today, I'll go ahead and say I want to be greedy. I want it. Because if revival flows through my heart, preacher, I won't have to advertise. I won't have to go out and yell it from the rooftops. Hey, I've got revival. No, they'll see it. Just like they did in Elijah's day when that fire fell. The people saw it. Elijah didn't have to say, hey, God's fire's all over me. No, they saw it and they said, the Bible says, the Lord, He is God. The Lord, He is God. You won't have to advertise it. When you get to the place where you realize that you need revival and God decides to give you revival, you won't have to advertise it one bit. People will see it. But until we get to the place where we realize as God's people, as the saints of God, we need it, revival will never come. Number three, and I'm done. Macy, come on to the piano. In this verse, we see the source of revival. Wilt thou? It's God. We see the saints needing revival. That's us. But then, number three, we see the satisfaction after revival. They use that term, preacher, again. They use that term again. So I'm thinking in their mindset, they probably thinking, hey, Paul's generation was better off after they saw revival. My daddy's generation was better off after they saw revival. So God, we need you to send it again. We need to know that we'll be better off after revival. The satisfaction that thy people may rejoice in thee. I told you this morning, I'm a big Tar Heel sports fan. Been Tar Heel all my life. Born in North Carolina. And preacher, when I'm watching, I don't watch it near as much as I used to. Not in a year's time. It's amazing how you can realize what your priorities are. But I did catch a couple Tar Heel football games this year. And I was watching my Tar Heels play. And I can promise you, when I watched them play, days gone by, they wasn't so good. They're getting a little better now. But in days gone by, it didn't matter if it was Tar Heels. It didn't matter if it was my Pittsburgh Steelers that my brother's a fan of over here as well. It didn't matter who it was. If I'm watching a football game and the team I'm rooting for, if their quarterback takes the snap from center and he drops back in that five or six step drop and he throws a sideline pass down the right hand sideline, and if the other team goes under it and catches it and starts running back the other way, I can promise you, I do not stand up and say, yeah, that's my boy. That's the quarterback. He's the greatest one to ever throw a pass. He's the greatest one to ever put on football gear. He's going to be the Heisman winner. He's going to be the greatest football quarterback to ever step on the field. No, that idiot just threw an interception. I'm not his fan at all at that moment. I'm thinking, put that dude on the bench. My sister could do a better job if I had one. It's because I'm not satisfied with the result of the play. But if our defense holds, that same quarterback gets under center again, I'm still a little mad, still a little infuriated at his last decision. But if the next play, he takes that same snap from center and he drops back about five or six steps and he throws a post pattern down the middle of the field and our receiver runs under it and catches it and he crosses the goal line and we see the official go touchdown, I can promise you, I'm jumping up and down on my bed or I'm jumping up and down on my recliner and I'm saying, that dude is great. That quarterback is awesome. Go ahead and give him the national championship. Go ahead and name him player of the year, the Heisman winner. Go ahead and give him all the accolades. He's the greatest. It's because I'm satisfied with the result of that play. But none of that stuff matters, because whoever wins the national championship, they'll play for another one again next year. But when we're talking about the eternal things of God, like revival, if God decides to show up and show out today and pours revival on this section or this section or this section or all three of these sections combined, we'll be satisfied with the results of what God's going to do. We'll have to look back and say, man, we serve a great God who is willing to give us a little bit of revival, who is willing to meet with us, who is willing to manifest himself in our presence. We serve a great and mighty God, and that'll be something that you'll be telling your grandkids and your great-grandkids down the road. That's something everybody else will be talking about. You remember that Sunday when God moved in our place and revival hit and God used us to touch this city, to touch this county, to touch this state? That'll be results that everybody in the building will be satisfied with. But we got to get to step number two first. We got to realize that we need it. And we got to realize that it has to come from God. Then the satisfaction will come if God ever gives us the taste of revival. We'll say like they are, God, revive us again. And we'll want it again. We won't be satisfied with just the ordinary. We won't be satisfied with just routine Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night service. We'll get to the place where we'll want to see it every time we meet in God's house. The verse is, it's out there on your sign. Wilt thou not revive us again, that thy people may rejoice in thee. Baby, come on up and sing this hymn, Macy's playing. We're going to stand all over the building. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. I want to get to this place where I'm